It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson wrapped up 2 days of tense and often abusive questioning Wednesday by Republican senators who tried to portray her as soft on crime and as a judicial activist who would legislate from the bench. In response, Jackson repeated numerous times statements to the effect of, "Judges don't make law. Judges should not be policymakers." Among the Republican questioners, Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina were the most combative, grilling Jackson about what they said were light sentences she gave in several child pornography cases. They frequently interrupted her as she responded, repeating that she followed federal guidelines and instructions from Congress to rehabilitate offenders. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hear from witnesses for and against Jackson in the final day of hearings Thursday. Jackson, though, will be back on the Hill, meeting one-on-one with senators as she seeks to become the first Black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. She did meet with every senator on the Judiciary Committee before this week's hearings. The committee is scheduled to vote on Judge Jackson's nomination on Monday, April 4th. Then it goes to the full chamber for a final vote. In a 50-50 Senate, Vice President Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaker if her vote is necessary. At press time, President Joe Biden is meeting with NATO members in Brussels at an emergency summit to respond to the war in Ukraine. Announcements on new sanctions, NATO force posture, and military assistance are all on the agenda for discussion today. The closed-door meeting reportedly began with a virtual speech from President Volodymyr Zelensky. Now, he's not there, as Ukraine is not a NATO member. And with the talks going on of what types of negotiating with Russia to end the war is being floated, it's interesting to note that Zelensky reportedly did not repeat his request for a no-fly zone or to be admitted into NATO. But he did hint that they should be.
After this 1 month of war in a war with Russia, please do not tell us that our army is not up to NATO standards. We have shown what our standards are worth, how much we can give to the overall security of Europe and the world, how much we can do to protect ourselves from, protect everyone from aggression, to protect our shared values. But NATO is yet to show what NATO can do to save people's lives and to show that they are indeed the most powerful defensive alliance in the world.
Separately, Russia partially reopened its stock market Thursday after being closed for a month, and investors took part in a highly restricted trading session. The White House, though, called the market reopening a, quote, charade. Now, both President Biden and Secretary of State Blinken have admitted in sort of off-the-cuff remarks that Russia has committed war crimes in Ukraine, but now they've made it official. In a statement released on Wednesday, the statement reads, "Today, I can announce that based on information currently available, the U.S. government assesses that members of Russia's forces have committed war crimes in Ukraine." All right. Well, more news will likely rise from today's meetings, including this. The Biden administration is expected to announce that the U.S. will take up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees, as we should. So this NATO meeting is happening 1 month to the day after Russia invaded. In addition to addressing the members of NATO, President Zelensky released a video on social media calling on people all over the world to take to the streets.
Show your standing. Come from your offices, your homes, your schools and universities. Come in the name of peace. Come with Ukrainian symbols to support Ukraine, to support freedom, to support life. Come to your squares, your streets. Make yourselves visible and heard. Say that people matter, freedom matters, peace matters, Ukraine matters. From March 24th in downtowns of your cities. All as one together who want to stop the war.
Well, the Supreme Court is at work. On Wednesday, the High Court blocked a revised plan for Wisconsin's legislative districts that would have created a new Black voting district touching Milwaukee. In an unsigned opinion, the Supreme Court said the plan, drawn up by the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, and opposed by Republicans, was an example of, quote, the sort of uncritical majority-minority district maximization that we have expressly rejected. The high court declined to block new Wisconsin congressional district maps. State Republicans had challenged those too. The new maps tweaked boundaries of the state's 8 congressional districts, but were expected to preserve the Republicans' 5-3 advantage. This Wisconsin case was the latest of what's expected to be dozens of redistricting challenges headed for the Supreme Court following the 2020 census. By the way, Justice Clarence Thomas remains hospitalized a full week after being admitted with flu-like symptoms. News about his condition is non-existent, especially after initially telling us that it was under control and he'd be released shortly. 1 month ago, two of the prosecutors who were working in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office on a case involving Donald Trump suddenly resigned after the new DA paused pursuit of an indictment. The two prosecutors had intended to charge Trump with falsifying business records. Well, on Wednesday, the New York Times published the resignation letter submitted by Mark F. Pomerantz. In it, he wrote that he believes that Trump is, quote, guilty of numerous felony violations, and also said it would be a grave failure of justice not to hold Trump accountable. Many are questioning the new DA, Alvin Bragg's, decision, especially after promising he would continue the work begun by his predecessor, Cyrus Vance. So does the name Mackenzie Scott sound familiar? What if I told you she's given $3.8 billion to 465 organizations since June? Or if I told you she was formerly Mackenzie Scott Bezos? Yeah, the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is now a billionaire, 55 times over billionaire, and she's been giving away her money to help humanity, to charitable organizations doing good for the world. I'm just telling you this, it may be to nudge Jeff, the wealthiest person on the planet. Just saying. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.